probably tomorrow night or Thursday night, Cyril Ramaphosa will appear on our TVs at 8 o'clock and tell us that the country is moving to level one of our lockdown. And we don't exactly know what that is going to involve, but given the statement issued by the Department of Health last night in the name of the ministers, William Keyse, it's probably going to involve an announcement on international travel. It's probably going to involve an announcement on a softening or an abolition of the curfew. And it is probably going to make a point about larger gatherings being permitted. But all of the indications are that this announcement is coming. National Coronavirus Command Council has been meeting this afternoon, this morning. The president was discussing the next phase of the lockdown with ministers and the premiers of all the provinces in what is called the president's coordinating council meeting, and then cabinet tomorrow morning, where all of this will be given the official tick. Professor Mark Mendelson joins us now, Professor of Infectious Diseases at the University of Cape Town. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John, and good afternoon to your listeners.
From your perspective, and obviously your perspective is a medical one rather than a medical and economic stroke political one, but from your medical perspective, are there any requirements that need to be kept in place other than wash your hands, sanitize, stay apart from people, wear a mask?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are the core issues. And whether we go to level one lockdown tomorrow or the next day or not, those remain a core feature. I think of all the of all the issues that you've mentioned, The issues around mass gatherings are the ones I think we need to be most careful about. The restrictions on the numbers of people have to be taken into context of where those gatherings are occurring, whether they're indoors in poorly ventilated areas or outdoors, whether they, whether the ventilation is good or bad, how big the spaces are, etc. But I think that the mass gatherings are the real worry point for me. Out of all the things that could be announced over the next day or two.
How would you limit the size of those gatherings? I take your point that it's not per se the size, it's the context of the size. But what do you think is the sensible, rational way to allow larger gatherings without dramatically increasing the risk of, I don't want to call it second wave because that seems unlikely in South Africa, but localized spurts?
Well, it's a difficult one, isn't it? It's difficult to generalize because it does very much depend on the size of the gathering, so the number of people, the size of the venue, the ventilation particularly of that venue, and the ability for people congregating to be able to socially distance and continue to perform all those the hygiene sanitation tasks that you're suggesting. So it's very difficult to make absolute guidance on this. You can talk about percentages. There was discussion about percentages for taxis, and other things you can do that for various indoor spaces. But I think it's being practical and being pragmatic and for people, citizens to understand the importance of continuing social distancing and just being aware, of surroundings and what you're going into.
A couple of months ago, probably 3 months ago, maybe longer, there was a report in the New York Times where they canvassed the views of something like 120 epidemiologists and vaccinologists across the U.S. and said, this range of activities, when is it likely that you will be prepared to do that? And perhaps I can, in a very minor way, do that now. Going to Newlands to watch a rugby match there, what would make Mark Mendelson happy to do that?
I think, probably the ability to distance when I'm there. So, having a meter or so, a meter and a half apart, so maybe having seats at least, alternate seats, so you're not sitting completely next to people. the ability to control the crowds at points of entry and exit.
Because, I mean, that's difficult. I mean, in order to get that distance, I don't know what the maximum capacity would be under those circumstances, perhaps 20,000. But 20,000 people entering a relatively small number of fairly narrow alleyways to get into the stadium, that's probably a more difficult thing to control than keeping people a metre and a half apart in their seats.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's going to need a lot of thought from the people involved in administering these arenas. But, you know, I think these are sort of the critical areas. At least these are outdoors. You know, I think that's important. That would give me, you know, some, you know, I would be happy with that. But I mean, it is about trying to limit trying to continue to impose some ability to social distance, the, you know, universal wearing of masks to continue. And I think, again, you know, just the safety of people in these arenas and in these sort of mass gatherings has got to be, you know, foremost in our minds. And so it's going to take a lot of planning. And it's not particularly simple, I warrant you, but I think that's the key.
Would you fly at the moment?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Have you?
Yeah. No, I haven't. But I would fly. I think it's time. It's time that international borders were opened. I think there are ways of doing it which are responsible and, you know, maximise the potential to prevent infections. But I think it is time for international travel to be reopened. Yes.
So you'd be comfortable sitting on a plane for 11 hours to London?
I would be, well, with specific infection prevention practices being put in place. Yes, I mean, ideally, again, you would distance people in between. There would be masking.
Folk on distancing. Planes, if there are enough passengers, sure. Planes are being packed to capacity.
Yeah. No, look, I appreciate the problems. But I think that it is time to open the borders. I think it is risk is relative, isn't it? And I think, you know, with ensuring masking, ensuring hygiene, ensuring as much social distancing with on a plane is what would need to happen.
Would you lecture a full class of students?
Well, again, I mean, it depends. It depends what a full class means in terms of the venue that you have and the ventilation that you have. I mean, I wouldn't want to lecture a group of students in an enclosed room without good ventilation and packed side by side. No, I think there's still incredibly important to. Particularly in our universities and our classrooms, to be cognizant and very understanding of the need to continue social distancing and masking and all the important issues that we've been discussing.
You join in the general consensus that sometime this week, next couple of days, we are going to get a level one announcement?
I think it's likely. I mean, again, you know, I can't second guess the president, but I mean what has come out of the Department of Health and the minister's comments and all the meetings. It's looking that way, but we'll all have to wait and see.
Professor Mark Mendelsohn, Professor of Infectious Diseases at the University of Cape Town, thank you.